and I'm sure you're aware of this, the number one parameter in healthcare is cost. Everything else is in 10,000th place. So that explains a lot of these problems. Typically, people who work in hospitals are not particularly well paid. There's high turnover in many of these departments. And we can start blaming that this or that clinic isn't designed in an ergonomic fashion, and I'm not trying to make light of that. But my personal opinion is there's factors that are probably a little closer to home. But I would.
Well, in that case, let's forget about going to a county facility, Michael. I'm going to check into one of those prestigious hospitals on top of the hill.
Oh, yeah.
They, of course, will be a cleaner, safer facility, right?
Well, I don't think that's true. And in fact, to be cynical about it, the reverse may even be true. I don't have enough data to make that statement unequivocally, but there was a recent case of a former sportscaster, Dick Schaap, who many of your listeners are probably familiar with, worked for ABC for many years, went in for a routine adjustment to a hip replacement or something like that, and came out dead from a in-hospital infection. And this was a very prestigious hospital in Manhattan where this occurred. Certainly, the bugs don't care where they're living. They're not impressed that they're on Park Avenue or at Bellevue. I have never seen any data that shows that you're safer in a prestigious hospital than a county hospital. And in fact, my personal experience in selling equipment and dealing in other matters with either HMO facilities such as Kaiser and county facilities is, in many cases, they seem to be more up on that, frankly.
Now, Michael, come on. Be honest with me and my 125 million listeners. You're just trying to scare people and convince them to buy your equipment. Isn't that true?
Well, not really, because our equipment has nothing directly to do with this. We get into it, Christopher, indirectly. We make equipment that monitors for certain fumes that are produced in the sterilization process. But in being involved with infection control, we have been exposed to a bit of the, if you like, soft underbelly. No, I'm not trying to scare people. Obviously, if you have a medical condition, at some point you're going to end up going to a hospital. But rather than scare people, even being slightly informed is a better place to be. I mean, one of the things and the cliche that I've said on other interviews is that how many of us have observed senior citizens, to use the cliche, going in for the early bird special at the local restaurant, spending seemingly 15 to 20 minutes finding out exactly how the meal is prepared and so on. I believe it's obviously an exaggeration, but yet take these same people, check them into a hospital, and they don't ask a single question about treatment that may well kill them.
There's a segue right there. What is the single most important question, perhaps two questions, that consumers of healthcare should be asking as they check into the hospital? What do they need to know to protect themselves?
Okay. If any invasive procedure is going to be done, let's start at something simple, laparoscope type procedure, merely by asking the doctor how this instrument has been sterilized will put you in the 99th percentile of the typical patients. I can tell you from personal experience, well, actually of my son who went in after hurting knee, doing various athletic things, I happened to ask the surgeon, and not to be a smart guy, just because I wanted to know, how is this being sterilized? And he went into this whole thing about, well, we do this and that and so on, and don't worry, and if you want extra protection, be the first case in the day. Because unfortunately, there are differing standards for these instruments depending on what time of day it is. Let me elaborate on that for a moment. If you're going to do a true, let's say, ethylene oxide sterilization of one of these instruments, this requires a lot of time, so it's done overnight. So if you're in the first case in the day, you will have the benefit of an ETO sterilized instrument. However, if there's another case that's going to be an hour later, they don't have time to sterilize it properly, and they will go into what's called high-level disinfection. And I can give you the definition of these words, but it's very confusing. Sterilization kills, quote, everything, unquote. Disinfection kills most of the important things. I realize
that's... But Michael, these are the good guys. These are the guys in the white coats. Are you suggesting to our listeners that we can't trust the medical professionals whom we've entrusted literally with our life in a hospital situation?
Well, you're putting it on and framing it on very strong terms. I mean, at some point you're going to have to trust them. But as Ronald Reagan said, you know, trust but verify. Although he was talking about something else, but I think it applies here that. Again, you have a situation where there's cost cutting. You have a situation where if you can do 10 surgeries a day instead of 5 surgeries a day, you make a lot more money. I don't think that anybody goes into a motion picture studio purposely to make a bad movie. I don't think anybody starts operating on a patient to purposely do a bad job. But through the rush and crush of events, things happen. And it is ironic that a parameter that you have the most control of, i.e. your own health, many people are just asleep at the switch.
So bottom line, ask the tough questions. And let's go down that list again, that short list of three tough questions that you should be asking. And don't let them pat you on the head and say, now, Mrs. Smith, don't worry, we're professionals.
Well, okay. I mean, the first one was you are going to, this particular instrument is going to be sterilized. The other thing is not so much a question as to, okay, I mean, if you're going to be prescribed a drug, it's probably not a bad idea to ask about side effects. Traditionally, doctors did not like to talk about side effects, and there was a good reason for this, that because of what you might call the reverse placebo effect, if you start telling people that there's a possibility that they'll have a headache or the break into hives or what have you, based on a certain drug, it may happen through the power of suggestion. On the other hand, there's a very fine line between if there really is a danger that someone should know about it. And I think this idea that people are too stupid to deal with the notation of side effects is probably not a good concept. So I would certainly ask about that. The other thing is that seems to create problems is it's a type of drug, but it's the overuse of antibiotics. I mean, it's very, very typical when people go in for surgery to put them on a couple of courses of antibiotics to, as a mopping up effect. Gee, you know, maybe if we didn't have perfect aseptic technique, put a guy on this range of antibiotics, everything will be fine. That may not be a good idea because, as you know, it's really been way, way overdone. The other questions to ask have to do, are there any alternatives? You know, it's very nice to give drugs in surgery, but sometimes things tend to clear up themselves. You know, I mean, you have to be use some wisdom with this, but there's far too many cases that I've heard about where a patient might go in for very aggressive, for example, back surgery, putting rods in his back or whatever you want to call it, of dubious value other than to increase someone's income. And you really have to wonder, asking the pointed question, well, gee, what would happen if I didn't do this? So just kind of basic questions to show that you're thinking about it and you're not sort of a cadaver that's been re-energized, that's not questioning anything.
So double bottom line, Michael D. Shaw.
Yes.
To be an informed consumer is to be an enlightened and perhaps safer consumer of health products.
Well, and to put it somewhat more negatively, generally the people who get cured of serious diseases are the people who you would refer to as a, quote, bad patient, close quote.
You mean an obstinate pain in the ass?
That's correct.
Patient?
The good patients tend to die given a serious condition. So that's kind of another way of framing it.
So you've got to take your own life in your own hands before someone else does.
How about that?
You can have that line.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I will, yeah, in fact, I've just written it down here with my silent pencil.
What did I miss, Michael? You're a very good interviewer and you're very quick today. What other nail do we need to hit on the head this morning?
Well, one of my favorite topics that sort of segues off this is as your listeners in California and perhaps nationally are aware, there's a major supermarket strike in this state. And the only issue is health care. Who's going to pay for it? Which is a legitimate question. But no one seems to want to worry about the quality of the health care. And there's no other product that I'm aware of that we spend so many millions and billions of dollars on that no one ever asks about the quality. Doesn't that seem a little strange?
Trillions of dollars.
Trillions. I mean, how many shows have you ever done or are aware of where people talk about, gee, is this actually good care? What are the outcomes? In other words, and here's the other thing, Christopher, when U.S. News and World Report rates the so-called top hospitals, that is generally based on how many prestigious physicians are practicing there.
Okay. You mean it's not based on prestigious outcomes?
No, sir. No. And I'm not at all confident that you could take the most prestigious hospital and look at the outcomes on a given procedure compared to L.A. County, and I don't know that the results would be any different. But no one wants to look at it like this. You know, people think that, okay, I'm going to get, quote unquote, the best. But the cliche that I use that a lot of people don't like, but they think about it, generally speaking, rich people get the worst health care. Okay, why am I saying that? Now, certainly, if you're an informed, wealthy consumer of health care, you're going to get as good health care as you want. But the typical wealthy person gets the worst health care because they will say, well, you know, I've got enough money to get the best. Well, who's the best doctor, Christopher? Is it the guy with the best outcomes? Or is it the one that hangs out at the most cocktail parties, tends to shy away from any difficult procedures so he doesn't get in trouble? How do we know who is the best?
Well, actually, the best is my lover, but she wouldn't deliberately kill me, would she?
I hope not. I don't know enough about your situation, sir. I would hope that she wouldn't, and that's just one of the points that at some point, if you're going to spend trillions of dollars, for God's sake, take a look at the quality. I mean, what a radical concept.
In other words, you're suggesting be an informed consumer, be as informed about auto repair and consumer products, and be that informed about healthcare. Ask the tough questions and demand those answers.
Yes, sir.
And well, gosh, here I am putting words in your mouth again, Michael. You're supposed to say that, not just agree with me. Otherwise, we'll have a dull show.
Be an informed customer. Be an informed healthcare customer. Make the decisions on your own life. But, or saying another way, spend at least as much time on finding out about your own healthcare as you would on buying your next car. The trouble is people don't do that because based on the so-called expert concept, I don't know whether this started with Benji Spock or it goes back farther, that people have become very comfortable with this notion of experts, that all we have to do is pay enough money and we can get the expert to take care of our problems. You know, if you commit a homicide, you're going to get the quote-unquote best defense attorney, whatever that means. Ironically, these best guys usually don't win, but somehow that doesn't enter the equation. So, you know, by putting it to the expert rather than taking the responsibility, this can be applied to a lot of other factors in this life besides just healthcare. But it's especially important in healthcare because there can be devastating effects. If you buy the wrong car, well, you know, you'll be unhappy for a few years until you trade it in. If you get the wrong procedure done on you, you're either going to be dead or unhealthy, which seems to me to be worse than having a car you don't like.
You get the last word, Michael. You're a great interview. Thanks. We did it. You were amazingly quick. I'm really knocked out. Thanks for coming on down to NPR West in beautiful Culver City today.
My pleasure.
You're a great interview, and
Good luck with AARP.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, Michael. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, everyone.